Chapter 5, The Revelation. After leaving the forest, the Reverend could not believe their meeting had been real. They had decided that the cities of Europe would be the best place for them to begin their new lives. And it happened that there was a ship in Boston Harbor set to leave for the Old World in 4 days. Through Hester's charity work, she knew the ship's captain and was able to make arrangements that she, the Reverend, and Pearl would depart with the ship. When Hester told the Reverend of her arrangement, he was overjoyed and remarked, "How fortunate, as I'm set to give the election sermon in only 3 days' time." The election sermon, to commemorate the swearing-in of the new governor, was the high point in the career of any New England clergyman. Dimmesdale returned from his talk with Hester possessing a sense of great physical energy that was very unusual for him. He found that no matter what he did, he could not become tired. Finally, the Reverend entered the peace and solitude of his study, where he could write his most important election sermon. While he was occupied with this task, there came a knock on the door. When the Reverend said, "Come in," he feared he would behold an evil spirit, and he did. It was Roger Chillingworth. The Reverend remained speechless.
"Hello, Reverend,"
said Chillingworth.
"I suspect you will need my medical assistance to help you put your heart and strength into the task of making the election sermon."
"Not this time," answered the Reverend solemnly. "My recent walk through the woods has provided me with a renewal of spirit and energy. I will not need any of your drugs." They both knew that they were no longer trusted friends, but rather bitter enemies.
"Reverend, are you sure you shouldn't use my services to help you make this most important sermon? Heaven knows you may not be here next year to make another one."
"Yes, heaven grant it, I'll be in a better world," replied the Reverend. "But in my present frame of body, I don't need your medicine."
"Well, I'm glad to hear it,"
said the doctor. After the doctor left, the Reverend called his servant to bring him a large meal. He devoured the food like an animal that had not eaten for a long time. Then he spent all night flinging written pages of his sermon from the desk, as if heaven was transmitting the words through his hand. When the Reverend awoke in the morning, the pen was still between his fingers, and the sermon was marvelously completed. On the day of the new governor's inauguration, the marketplace was crowded with the townspeople, who were waiting to see the procession of officials pass and to hear the Reverend's sermon. Hester and Pearl joined the crowd. Everywhere around them were festivities, wrestling matches, and contests. The strict Puritan society was filled with people who were as joyful as they were allowed to be. When Pearl asked if the Reverend would be there, Hester said,
"Yes. But he won't be joining us, and we shouldn't speak to him if we see him today."
Roger Chillingworth also came to the festival. When Hester first spotted him, he was speaking with the captain of the ship that would be leaving for Europe on the following day. When Hester later spoke to the captain, he told her that Chillingworth would be joining them on the voyage. Her heart sank at the fearful news, and when she saw Chillingworth, she felt his smile hid a terrible secret meaning. But Hester had no time to think about the captain's shocking news. The time was at hand for the Reverend to give his sermon. When she saw the Reverend Dimmesdale, she felt as though he were another person whom she had never seen before. She felt sad, as if he were in another world. Then Hester saw Mistress Hibbins, who asked her if she had met the Reverend in the forest recently. Hester denied it. But Mistress Hibbins continued to tell her that the Reverend had been there and signed his name in the black man's book. She said the black man had his way of leaving a mark on those who would not admit they had signed his book. To make matters worse for Hester Prynne, the festival had brought to town many people from outlying areas. These people encircled her, staring and pointing at her mark of shame. On this day, Hester felt more pain than she had on the first day she had worn the letter. What nobody knew was that the same mark of disgrace burned on the saintly Reverend Dimmesdale. It was at this time that the Reverend's powerful and eloquent voice could be heard throughout the marketplace, coming from a high pedestal at the eastern end of the marketplace. People were brought to silence by his profound words. Many people said that never before had they heard so wise, so high, and so holy a spirit speak as they heard on that day. Through his powerful waves of heaven-inspired words, the Reverend reached his proudest peak of glory as he stood atop the pedestal. Meanwhile, Hester and Pearl stood next to the old scaffolding with the symbol still burning on her breast. When the Reverend's sermon was finished, music began, and a procession of honorable town fathers began walking on a pathway through the crowds of people. When they reached the western end of the marketplace, the people cheered. As the shouts died down, Hester saw the Reverend and was shocked at how very pale and weak he looked. It was as if he had used the last of his energy to deliver his powerful and grand sermon. Now he appeared to be a feeble man who could barely stand by himself. Pastor Wilson hurried to the Reverend's side and tried to hold his arm for fear that he would fall, but the Reverend shook him off. He kept walking on his own, like a shaky infant. By this time, he was very near the old scaffold. The crowd looked at him in shock, wondering if his earthly faintness was just another sign of his heavenly strength. Suddenly, the Reverend turned toward the scaffold and held out his arms. "Hester," he cried, "my little Pearl, come here to me." The look on his face was one of terrible pain. But Pearl ran to him and threw her arms around him. Hester, as if forced by invisible hands, slowly approached him. Together, with Hester supporting the Reverend's weight and Pearl holding his hand, they climbed up the steps of the scaffolding together.
"Are you mad?"
whispered Roger Chillingworth, who stood near them.
"Stand away from that woman and child. You will blacken your good name and be cast into the pit of dishonor. I can't help you after this."
"Ha ha," the Reverend laughed at Chillingworth. "Tempter, you are too late this time. With God's help, I will escape you now." The crowd watched in an uproar as the three stood on the scaffolding. The noble men of rank and dignity could not understand the meaning of his actions. Old Chillingworth followed them, as if he were just another actor in their guilty drama, on stage for the final act. Looking darkly at the Reverend, he said,
"You could have searched the earth for a place to hide from me. There is no place high or low where you could have escaped to, except for this very scaffolding."
The Reverend looked to Hester. "Isn't this better than the plans we made in the forest?"
"I don't know. It may lead to the death of us all,"
she replied. "God will protect you and Pearl. As for me, I am a dying man. This is my last chance to accept the truth of my shame." Then the Reverend faced the other clergymen, the governor, the noblemen, and the crowd of townspeople.
"People of New England,"
he cried in a solemn and majestic voice,
"behold me, a shameful sinner. I should have stood here 7 years ago when the governor demanded to know the name of Hester Prynne's partner in sin. You have all seen the scarlet letter that this woman wears, but there has stood one among you whose brand of shame and infamy you have not seen." At this point, the Reverend's weakness was so great that he nearly collapsed. But he managed to stand by himself and stepped forward, away from Hester and Pearl. "But now you must witness the great power of the Lord and the true mark of shame. Behold!" With a quick motion, the Reverend tore away his holy robe to expose his bare chest. The crowd was horror-stricken as they gazed upon the terrible miracle emblazoned upon the flesh of his breast. The Reverend had a look of victory on his face shortly before he collapsed to the floor of the scaffold.
Hester raised his head in her hands, and old Chillingworth knelt down by him and said,
"You have escaped me! You have escaped me!"
"My little pearl," the Reverend said to the child beside him, "will you kiss me now?"
The girl leaned forward and kissed his lips. And with her kiss, the spell of grief that had been over her all her life was broken. Her tears fell on her father's cheek. "Farewell, Hester," said the Reverend.
"Shall we not meet again in heaven? Shall we not spend our eternal lives together? Certainly we've paid enough of a price for that,"
she said to him.
"Only merciful God knows," said the Reverend. "If he had not brought me here to tell the truth to these people, I would have been lost forever. Praise to his name. His will is done. Farewell."
With that word came the Reverend's last breath. The crowd was silently still, in a state of shock and awe. As the days passed, many people spoke of the scarlet letter, just like Hester's, that they had seen imprinted on the Reverend's breast. Some thought he had inflicted it upon himself through terrible self-torture. Others thought that Roger Chillingworth had used drugs and magic spells to inflict it upon him. And still others believed that heaven had placed it there to punish him for his sin. Many of the religious authorities defended Reverend Dimmesdale's character, and pronounced that his dying words declared no guilt in the matter of Hester Prynne and her daughter. They said that the Reverend had merely used his last earthly moments to deliver a powerful sermon through his own example. But the moral that stood out from the poor Reverend's miserable experience was ultimately, "Be true, be true, be true." After the object of Roger Chillingworth's quest for revenge was gone, the old man simply withered away into nothing. He died within the same year and left a great amount of money and property to Hester Prynne's little daughter, Pearl. Pearl and Hester disappeared for some time after that, but eventually, Pearl became the richest heiress in the New World, and Hester Prynne returned to her little cottage to continue her simple existence of hard work and charity. When she finally died at a very old age, she was buried next to an unmarked grave, which along with hers shared a single blank tombstone. Some years later, there mysteriously appeared a shield engraved on the tombstone. If one were to read it, they would see the inscription, on a black background, the letter A in red.